Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Another great week for It's the Real.
Another great week, but you're sick this week.
Well, you know, we're all sick. It's the sick season. Sick season.
Yeah, I was sick last week. You're sick this week. Time flies.
It does. We had a great DJ set at Kinfolk last Tuesday, which was a lot of fun, before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and then this week we are going to be at... Where are we going to be?
Nope, we're not going to be anywhere this week. But
December
the following
9th.
Week, yeah, December 9th, we'll be at Beverly's. Downtown, go catch us there. But we did want to shout out Gigi. Gigi, a girl who listens to this podcast, who submitted a question for our fan mail episode, showed up IRL in real life.
In real life.
That was pretty awesome. She said, hey, she said she really enjoys our podcast, enjoys us as people, and decided to come. And there were a ton of people there, which was really cool, but really nice of her in particular to say what's up. Jeff, we rode down to Thanksgiving together. We did not sit near each other at Thanksgiving. There were about 15 people, and I was on one side of the table. You were at the other side, which traditionally would have been the children's side, but now we're all grown ups and we're split up. I know that my conversation was to be expected. What was your conversation like down there?
A lot of adults trying to figure out what was going on with Kanye.
So...
people who may not, you know Kanye's history suddenly becoming experts on the genre.
They all know Kanye from, like, clips on TV.
Yes.
They know his first name in, like, headlines.
They know everything. They know that his mother had a great influence on him and that he has never properly processed her death. They know that Kim has been going through some things ever since coming back from Paris.
So they had all the questions for you.
No, they didn't have questions.
Oh,
they had answers.
They had all the answers.
Yeah, everybody was very confident in knowing exactly what's going on with Kanye.
Wait, how many doctors were you sitting next to?
I was sitting next to about six doctors and one.
Wait, no, how many are they? How many actually have their medical degrees?
Well, one is a psychiatrist. One is a psychologist, so they can give out. You know, medication.
Man,
big.
Would you have rather talked about Trump?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, everything is bad. Anybody who has an opinion in 2016 is bad. Let's just get to 2017.
Anybody who had an opinion in 2016 sat on your side of the table?
The worst part is that it's not even like opinions. Everybody thinks that they have facts.
You want to know what the prevailing opinion and fact was at my end of the table?
What?
Sat next to our family friend Mel, who's been family friends for the longest time. He's always been a part of Thanksgiving, he and his family.
He's a lunatic.
He's not a lunatic, though. He's very measured in his, just like, I don't know. There's a lot of
obliviousness, yeah.
Yeah. So he sits there, and in the, you know, apropos of nothing, he's just like, okay, so there was the turkey, there was the stuffing, there was the greens, there was a potato dish, and in the potatoes were heads of garlic cut in half, just, you know, to provide some flavor as these things go. He gets a clove of garlic, and he's like, Eric, this is the best tasting thing on the table. And I'm like, the garlic? And he's like, do you want some? And I said, no. And so he offered it to our cousin Esther, her husband Ben. It was a big thing. That's what was going on my side of the table. So, you know.
Dope.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Before we get into the podcast, I would like to shout out once more Loudspeakers Network. We ran into Combat Jack at the Kinfolk DJ set, and he was thrilled that we are part of the team and really excited about what's to come. Shout out to everyone over at Loudspeakers Network. Today on the podcast, who do we have?
We have Big Waz and Boss Nod.
So, they're cousins, they're Twitter personalities, they're very opinionated. We've had them on the podcast twice before.
Yeah.
And, man, if you guys don't know who they are, I really hope that you follow them on Twitter, get involved in their everyday lives, because we needed laughs. This was not long after the election.
We recorded this right after the election, and we were thinking, we need something to get us through this dark time.
Jeff, when do you want to get into the podcast?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Lean In, a.k.a. I'm with Burr.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. General Parkinson, a.k.a. Shaky Warrior.
What up? It's Waz. I have no idea how to follow that up.
I thought I was having some prepared for that, but I'm never prepared. Like, I'm never prepared. I'm like, damn, I'm having
this. AKA Lean In is
you
it.
Said, no, you said Parkinson.
General Parkinson.
That's hard.
Like, AKA I'm with Bird.
I'm with Bird. AKA
Shouts to Gucci.
Yeah.
Brick Squad, what up?
Yeah, and this is a waste of time with It's The Real. What's happening, guys?
What's up, man?
Yo, a lot's changed since we had you guys on the podcast last, you know?
Cameras. Lights.
Everything. Action. Yeah, everything
the world
here.
Wasn't ending. Well, you know, that whole thing.
The world's still not ending. It's just beginning.
If anybody out there is still feeling like subscribing to a stupid podcast, go to fullscreen.com/itsthereal because you can watch this whole shit. You can actually see what these two Twitter icons, Waz and Nod, look like in real life.
I'm barely at 5K, so I don't know what he's even talking about. This man laughing me. I remember when he had 100...
Yeah, I was
a professional podcaster over there.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Guys, what's happening?
Chilling, man.
Can't call it.
Living.
Yeah.
We do have a lot to catch up on, but I was thinking about this, and we were just talking about like the whole political landscape and whatnot. Could you imagine if you went to your, I mean, it's hard enough for people to like go to Thanksgiving and talk about this shit, but can you imagine if you went to your high school reunion and you haven't seen people in like 10 years, and then it's all about like, here's what I'm thinking about these days, and here's who I am. Like, did you guys even go to your high school reunion? Or
I'm on Facebook, so
I kind
of
every
day is kind of a reminder of like, wow, I used to think you were a decent person.
Nope.
But I went to my 5-year high school, but I didn't go to my 10-year.
But what have you done after 5 years?
Nothing.
Like, you went to college.
You just wanted to chill with people, and it was like an open bar event at the school, and it was like, all right.
So dope.
Yeah, it was pretty cool actually. It wasn't terrible. But
you're
yeah,
1 year
tenure,
out of college.
I completely missed that. I had moved from my old house, so it was like I never got the invite. You know what I'm saying? So that was that.
They mailed it to you?
Yeah, they mail you the thing. They don't have my email or any of that kind of information because I've never actually contributed to the like endowment or whatever. Right. So
after 5 years,
I feel like it was 1 or 2 years
to your high school. Where'd you go to high school?
You went to
St. Francis Prep in Queens.
Oh, excuse me.
So they're
don't
on
get it,
it
fucked up.
They're on you for
Haitians only send you to the best schools. Man. That's why we don't have any gear. That's why we never fly.
That's,
you know what I mean? That's why we only get sent to the best schools.
Right. It's an imperative.
I didn't go to my high school, any of my high school reunions, actually. I graduated like in 99.
Yeah.
I graduated like damn near 16 in 99. But I hated my school and I hated everybody in it for the most part. And
see, that's why you should go to your high school reunion.
Nah, I mean, first of all, I don't live in Orlando, Florida anymore. So right.
You have been back though.
I go back to see my family, but I stay in the crib. I don't really connect. There's a couple people I connect with from high school.
Do you run into any like people you knew from high school who were around?
Nah, my high school is weird. My high school, you know, I went to school with her. Remember Mandy Moore?
Yeah,
I went to high school with her. Like,
really? What was she like?
Yeah, I don't really remember much about her. I just remember like she started.
Tall, blonde.
Nah. I was probably a sophomore or junior. She was probably a freshman. I think we had like creative writing together. We had a class together, I believe. But I remember she was in school and then one day she was on TRL. You know, I went to school with a lot of like sons and daughters of senators and I went to a weird school, man. It's like
I feel like all schools in Orlando are weird. Like,
no, mine's Bishop Moore is a different school, man. I was the only black kid in all my classes, you know what I'm saying? I probably graduated like 15 black people. You know what I'm
really?
Saying?
But, where did Smiles and South Star go?
Yo, I don't remember. I think they're South Orlando dudes. I used to pass out flyers with South Star. South Star came out. Yeah, Rob. I used to like, you know, pass out flyers outside the club. We were like street team dudes, you know what I'm saying? He was a street team dude. He always used to rap. His name was North Star in the beginning. And then for trademark purposes, copyright infringement purposes, he had to change to South Star.
Wow.
Yeah, real talk.
Everybody you know shows up on TRL.
Everybody I know shows up. Like, I know, yo, man, like, Orlando's a weird place, man. Like, there's so many people I know from Orlando that are like doing things now. You
did
know
you
saying?
Ever
oh,
not Lou Pearlman?
Oh, so Lou Pearlman just died.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
Damn, that's a fucked up joke.
Yeah, I know.
It's a fucked up joke, Jeff.
Right, the Shaky Warrior thing.
Yo, Jeff getting dark on
Wait,
me.
Wait, did you ever run into Khaled down there? Like, ever see him around?
I think Khaled. Well, Khaled's people don't know, but he's from Orlando.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. First, then he moved to Miami. You know what I'm saying? My first interaction with Khaled probably was like in high school. I went to like a bashment, but this was like in Southern Florida, not even Orlando. It was in South Florida, like Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda, which is like the sticks. My cousins lived out there. We went to like some random ass party in like at a Masonic lounge. I think it was a Masonic lounge. Elks 132, like some shit. They probably held Klan rallies in there for lineup. That shit was in the sticks.
Yeah. Little known fact: I actually upon my birth, I had a like Masonic like. Baptism.
Oh, word.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my dad's a Mason. My dad's
really?
Mason too. Yeah. He tried to recruit me, and I was like,
it's too much.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I don't know. I've been to like rituals.
I haven't been
like,
to that. Been
they
that.
Hold like services and stuff.
Yeah. Yo, so I was. Do you remember the film 2 Weeks Notice? If you don't, it's cool. But it
isn't it like
Hugh
a scary
Grant.
Movie?
No. It's like a romantic comedy or something like that. Right? Yeah. Sandra Bullock and Hugh Grant, and I was mentored by the cinematographer on that. On that shoot.
Mentored for what? Mentored like, in his life? Mentored?
Just like learning at his like elbow, you know?
Oh, yeah, you went there for film.
I was a film head. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So like the guy, his name was Laszlo Kovacs, and he was a legend. Like he worked on Ghostbusters and Easy
legend.
Rider.
Say no more.
What's that? He was not on TRL. But they had some scenes that were in a Masonic lodge. On 23rd Street.
Yeah. Which is the Fader.
Right there.
What? Oh, wow.
Where they were shooting, they had like the biggest portraits of like the
random
oldest,
dudes.
Whitest men.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it got passed down from the French settlers or the people or the Creole people that went to France for school and came back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that's sort of germinated in. You know, the Haitian population. But yeah, it's really pretty like.
At least on that side of the table.
Yeah. I know nothing about it. Yeah. I just remember my dad going to like services and like he would have a sword. He'd walk around with he had this sword. He had a sword. And he'd have a sword.
Dude, it's like the. It's got a lot of occultish elements to it. There's a lot of like skull and bones. They're doing all kinds of incense. There's a casket like in the middle of the room that's just kind of just hanging out there.
Is there a body in there?
Nah,
it's not a body. It's just for. It's like a ritual.
I don't know.
It's just for aesthetic purposes. It looks cool.
How much was your upbringing like the Skulls, the movie with
what was that?
You guys remember that movie?
Is that a horror movie?
No, what it was is like it's basically just a social club,
right?
Yeah. So like the people at the lodge would plan things like picnics and all of that. We go upstate to this place called Graymore, and it was just like
Graymore
Manor.
My real people know where that's from.
I just remember it from like The Simpsons.
Did you have like secret handshakes?
No, I don't know any of the ritualistic stuff.
Right.
But, you know, I've been to a lot of the, like, I guess, ceremonies that they've had.
Can we get your dad to be on the podcast?
I'm sure he would come and bring his sword. But he's like so into it, he'd be like, I can't really get into
it with you because
it's like really a secret society. But
even though they got plates on their cars,
everybody knows what that is. But you know, and the funny thing is like, because I know dudes that are in black fraternities, right? Mm-hmm. Like Greek fraternities or whatever, and they're like, yo, that Mason shit is crazy. And you know, I don't know if you guys know the kind of stuff that they subject their pledges to, like the black Greek organizations. Like, it's pretty rigorous.
Do they have swords?
So, you know, if somebody who's gone through that process tells you the Mason stuff is a little bit over the top, I don't even want to know.
You want to know what the most fucked up thing? Our friend who pledged a sorority, white Jewish girl, she had to,
they locked them in a bathroom in the dark and they had to sing. They all had to sing together. What song was it?
Wasn't it
Sarah McLachlan? It was
Sarah McLachlan, yeah. That's pretty cool. That's tame. That's tame.
It's tame, but it's like the most stupid shit. But our friend knew how stupid it was in the moment, you know?
Right,
so she was just like sitting there being like, what the fuck am I getting into?
What's Sarah McLachlan song? I don't know why I know that.
Because you grew up in Orlando.
Nah, because I grew up in Boston.
Oh, true.
Do remember? Yes. I was born and raised in Boston. Then I'm actually Cambridge, Massachusetts. That's where my man Jez Dave. He always gives me hell when I'm like, yo, this motherfucker be talking about you from Boston.
He from Harvard.
And I rep Cambridge. You know what I'm saying? I say Cambridge. Sometimes I say Boston for people that don't know what Cambridge is. But he from Harvard. He from MIT.
Boston. Frog. Boss
Frog. That's what Dave calls me, Boss Frog. You know what I mean? But so I left Cambridge.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Wow. Do you guys fuck with magicians?
I think it's cool. I actually,
I don't know.
Damn, you know what's crazy about that? Speaking of high school reunions and all of that, this kid in my homeroom, whose name I won't mention.
Because he's a terrible magician.
No, because he was a really good magician, but he's a staunch Trump supporter.
Damn.
Oh, you won't
which
give
is what
promo.
I found out on Facebook.
Business is booming.
But he was dope at it.
Business is booming.
Like, he was dope with the magicianry. Like, when we were in high school.
He was dope at keeping secrets? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like
pretty much.
I feel like all magicians are just liars, right?
Yeah, pretty much so.
It's all illusion,
you.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Start doing stuff like this while he's jiggering with his left. That's all. We know what it is. But it was.
Where are you leading with that question, though?
No, I was just thinking about David Blaine. He's gonna.
What were we talking about before?
What happened?
We were talking about cults and stuff, and I was like, David Blaine has a special night. Yeah.
Is David Blaine
David
back?
Blaine's a
David
cult
Blaine
leader?
Is back. Well, I mean.
Oh boy!
I mean, you're talking to two Haitians, so there's definitely black magic.
Yeah,
there's definitely a belief in some type of a cult.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Devil worship, essentially.
Yeah. So you know.
Also, when Nod came in here before you came in here, we were talking about juicing. Are you on the juicing train too?
No, I'm not.
So we just had Angela Yee in here, and she opened up
Juices for Life around
the
way.
She opened up
her
Juices
and
for
Envy.
Life.
Congratulations!
Yeah.
I don't know you. I know Envy. I don't know Yee, but
yeah. But
wait, that's not the Styles P and Jada.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
So they got a new.
So now is that their is that Styles and Jada's franchise, or they were the first person to get a part of that
That's
Juices
a good
for Life franchise?
I think they got into it.
Okay.
It's theirs,
and
now they're franchising it.
So
okay.
Dope.
I just want them to all go on Shark Tank.
Yes. That would be incredible. Selling to Mark Cuban and the FUBU homie.
Yeah. He's from Queens, right?
Yeah, Damon John.
Yeah.
He's from Queens, yeah.
Shout out to Queens.
There's a lot of Queens guys out there.
Oh,
doing,
God. Don't get him started.
I don't want to run down the list.
DJ NG.
Last time we were here.
You know,
took you on that
Russell,
award tour.
You know,
whatever.
We don't need to get into
it.
Yeah. Donald Trump's from Queens.
Oh, no.
We got to eat that one.
No, that's terrible.
Pause.
No, you own that now.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's tough.
So, by the way, the day he tries to go back to Queens, like in 2016 or 2017,
he'll be welcomed in places like Howard Beach and, you know, College Point and those type of areas.
Really?
Trust me, he
still
would be more than welcome. Hell yeah. You'd be shocked.
By your magician friend?
And I was actually, absolutely. I was actually talking about this today. Somebody tweeting me about, can you believe they're fighting integration of public schools in liberal New York City? And
absolutely.
I'm like, dude, if you go to the places that where the, it's heavily populated by white people and it's non-transplanted New Yorkers, it's racist as fuck. You understand? Like, literally, like, if I go walk through those neighborhoods, people looking at me like, yo, what fuck are you doing here? Yeah. And this is New York City, not like upstate in the boonies.
Oh, I was seeing Trump stickers in Brooklyn,
of
and
course,
Gowanus and shit like that. I was seeing Trump stickers back earlier, and like so.
Yeah, but Gowanus smells like a dump.
Yeah. There's a lot of tech. There's a lot of tech money out there, though.
Yeah, geniuses you know. Out there.
She has nothing to do. Yo, I don't know.
Yeah. I might offend my political.
Yeah, connect. Yeah, I don't know. Shouts to Rob Markman, that's my guy.
Wait, how carefully do you have to watch yourself on whatever podcasts you're doing these days about what you say?
See, I was just talking about this. Like, normally, if you're on something like ESPN's True Hoop, there's strict guidelines about avoiding politics,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you can't get on there and promote some sort of political cause or agenda.
That's got to be so hard now,
which
though,
exactly.
All roads.
It's impossible because, you know, when a presidential candidate is like Dwayne Wade, whose name he spelled wrong, of the Miami Heat.
Oh, yeah.
His cousin got shot in Chicago. See, I told you.
Right.
I told you this would happen. So it's like, how do you avoid that when it's directly involving a guy that's in the NBA? Then you got athletes like Kaepernick and other guys in the NFL actually protesting. It's unavoidable at this point. You know, so even, you know, yesterday, we me and my man Amin El Hassan, every Monday we do a podcast called Black Opinions Matter Monday, which is just kind of a joke, but it's our little thing that we've carved out for, you know, we're going to do a black thing, essentially.
Right.
And, you know, I could already hear the peanut gallery, what about white opinion? No, that because that's redundant.
Right.
So, but, yeah, so yesterday we touched on it briefly, just because some coaches, some actual head coaches who are white guys, but these are guys in prominent positions. They came out and they spoke strongly. Steve Kerr spoke very strongly against Popovich, Stan Van Gundy. Mm-hmm. He went as far as to say he was hurt, ashamed of himself for not speaking up earlier. So these kinds of things you can't really avoid at this point.
Well, and what do you make of today? The big thing was Phil Jackson and the word posse, right? And how Carmelo felt about it, and how LeBron felt about it, and how Maverick Carter felt about it.
Right.
How do you feel about it?
In a way, you know, it's funny. In a way, I hear that, and I've been listening to Phil Jackson interviews for so long, for going on 20-something years now, and every Phil Jackson interview takes on a sort of condescending tone, right? A little bit of mischievous tone every single time. And so when I read it, I took it as that. One, he's taking a dig at Pat Riley because he's like, ha-ha, your guy left and you couldn't do anything about it. It's like, look at LeBron being a baby, him and his posse.
Right.
And the reason why I thought it was funny is because people don't say posse anymore. You know, like somebody on Twitter hit me up and said, well, when I think about posse, I actually think about old Westerns.
Right.
And I think about Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire and their little crew that they used.
The Pussy Posse.
The Pussy Posse.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, you know, in the 90s, that like instead of saying crew or clique,
it was posse. There was a movie called Posse that came out in the early 90s.
So I know that Phil Jackson knows what that sort of word means.
Yeah, LeBron threw me for a loop when like the rebuttal, like,
was very strong.
Like the race card, I was like, damn, you gonna throw the race card out on
right.
this.
Right, and
you
know because what I mean? He's right.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expecting him to take that strong attack. But you could tell this is something that he takes serious. Because what he did is actually unprecedented. Most NBA players, their agents are white dudes.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? From these big agencies, whether it be CAA or these other agencies. And LeBron, what he did, he took it upon himself.
He said,
you can sign me, but you're going to put my homie in a mentorship.
Yeah.
And now Rich Paul is one of the most powerful agents in the NBA.
Which is nothing that any other like group doesn't do already.
Of course.
It's kind of unprecedented. I guess a black guy did it.
You see Donald Trump, he wants his kids to get security clearance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But LeBron, you could tell he feels... He's always felt a way about this. It's obvious because he's like, I did something unprecedented, and for you to not show the proper deference and respect to what me and my homies have done, the people that I grew up with, the people that I've actually broken bread with since I was a kid, he felt a way about that. But initially, I took it as Phil being Phil.
Yeah.
But at the same time, anytime you hear an old white man say something like, chilling with the homies.
Right, right.
You know what that means. Right. You know, LeBron and his posse. You know what he's saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's signaling.
It is signaling. And he's out of touch. And he's old.
Of course.
And on top of all that, he's not doing a great job at his job.
Put it like this. If Jeff and Eric were to say Waz and his posse, I don't think twice about that because I know you're not condescending me.
We're talking about you and your pussy posse.
No comment. No comment. This is a public platform. I don't discuss those kinds of things.
By the way, Blaine was in the pussy posse.
Yes, he was. He was.
It's my first time hearing about this.
Yeah.
About the pussy posse?
It was a bunch of them.
I feel like
in
every
New
dude
York.
Is a pussy in the pussy posse.
Well, that's the thing. Leonardo
every dude is in a pussy posse.
Yes.
This was the pussy posse.
So what made this so different is that
Leonardo DiCaprio at the top.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
There's a pyramid.
Yeah. So you guys are guaranteed to get laid every time we go
out. Just imagine Just imagine if Justin Bieber, essentially, at the height of his powers, assembled a crew of like-minded...
It's the Rat Pack for hoes.
Right.
Yeah, correct.
Like-minded young white whippersnappers who are also in the entertainment industry.
And we just go out there
and
we then rap.
Right.
And literally call themselves the pussy posse.
And introduce themselves to girls as Pussy Posse, probably.
Possibly.
Yeah, maybe they made like shirts together.
They should have had shirts. Yeah,
I've never heard. I've never heard of it.
I don't remember if it was the New Yorker or Vanity Fair. There's like a famous like write-up that
like
somebody
it's a New York
did.
Magazine.
Yeah?
Yeah, that somebody did.
So this is confirmed. This is not like hearsay.
No, this reporter went around with
the pussy
DiCaprio and his
hard.
They're running up tabs in restaurants just trashing shit. It's crazy. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Nod was not in the pussy box.
Yeah. By the way, so
we have the same birthday, by the way.
Who?
Me and Leo.
Oh, crazy.
I call him Leo.
Yeah.
And David Blaine has a special tonight.
So like, obviously, like, the Jeter thing has sort of, like, come and gone, and people... he's married now, right? Like, people,
is he?
I think so. Yeah. I think he
did
just
he
got
get
married?
Married, or is he still engaged?
I don't think he got married. I think
the biggest gift basket.
But the rumor was that, like, after he would sleep with a girl, he would, like, gift them with signed, you know, baseballs, and yeah, whatever.
So dope for a 9-year-old boy.
Yeah. And so, if it's not true, I wonder who's the person who, like, came up with that and where it, like, sort of, like, emanated from.
Well, I was just watching an interview with, and this is, like, a weird thing to bring up, but I was watching Wendy Williams talk to Tommy Hilfiger.
Okay.
And Tommy Hilfiger was talking about the rumor that he was on Oprah, like, 20 years ago and said that he doesn't like when black people wear his clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he
never happened.
Yeah, never happened. And so he was like, it's a weird thing. Oprah brought me on the show to talk about how it never happened. And like, but he talked about it on Wendy's show. Hmm. Shouts to Wendy. I don't know why. it's a weird thing. Like, who starts these rumors? Who starts a rumor?
How it probably happens is he probably did give one or two people some kind of parting gift.
Yeah.
And then, of course, how the story gets
the game of telephone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gave the chick, he's now giving women.
You got two telephones.
Yeah. I got two phones. Yeah.
Entire gift baskets. Now, that's how that turns. But he probably did be like, oh, give this to your little brother.
But he let it breathe, though. You got to, like, you know, he was definitely in on it. Like, he never once came out.
At the very end,
20 years later.
And he probably did it because of his woman, probably was like, you got to dispel that.
But it's probably like,
because I look crazy for fucking with the dude. Right. Who would do that to a woman?
But it's probably still true, and he probably went in there and just, you know, lied and like, oh, yo, I don't really.
And by the way, of all the things to do to women, it's not the worst thing ever.
Like getting her an Uber. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the least you could do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be a gentleman about it.
Okay, so back to juicing.
Oh shit.
You're really about it.
Juice. Yeah, that's my thing.
You go grocery shopping.
Yeah, every week I got a juice. I got a high power juice at the crib. Like,
do you have it at work too?
Nah. I try to make two juices a day in the morning and bring it to work. You know what I'm saying? I lost mad weight off of juicing, so I just got stuck with it. You know what I mean?
Angela Yee said that DJ Envy has a setup at work. Like, he brings in his like fruits and vegetables and makes it like in the Nutra.
Yeah,
whatever.
I mean, if I drove, I probably would do the same thing. But I'm on the subway. I'm not bringing fresh veggies and, you know.
But like, is that acceptable at work now, where people are just like, oh, here's all my groceries, and I'm just gonna, you know?
I mean, I know people that have NutriBullets at their desk. You know what
at their desk.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it wouldn't be too far fetched. The juice at your desk. I mean, it's a lifestyle. It's no different than going to get a cigarette break. Going to a cigarette break. Like, I'm going to juice real quick. After 15 minutes, let me juice.
What's the weirdest thing at your desk? Huh? What's the weirdest thing at your desk, if not a NutriBullet?
The weirdest thing at my desk?
Yeah.
Damn.
Nod.
Yeah. The weirdest thing at my desk. I got one of these French Montana joints actually at my desk.
That's not weird. You have two. Weird.
Right. I don't really decorate my space simply because... Because
you can be fired tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm always ready to go. That's not dead ass. Like, I'm just smart. Like, literally, like, I have a big ass box next to my desk with like mad things already in it. So, like, I'm ready to
you
go.
You are so prepared.
Yeah, man. Like, nothing is permanent, man. Everything's temporary. So,
speaking of the mac and cheese box, did you get a payola envelope?
Yeah, I did get a payola envelope.
Just
asking. He's upset about that. What is it? They're not going to Queens.
Just asking.
Fucking Queens.
Just ask
where.
Yo, still on your social media.
They're going to Queens for that.
Where is your workplace?
Queens.
Queens. Yeah. Right? Yeah, they're not going to Queens. I was in route, man. I was in Midtown. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, all you had to come through real quick.
Well, no, it's just, like, you know, I follow you guys on. I follow you. Yeah, we can't walk to Howard Beach. I follow you guys in literally all seven of your social media platforms.
Damn.
Yeah.
You don't know
and
which
every
one is
time
which.
I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah, I wish another bag. Another bag.
No,
another bag.
We had 50. Is it terrible if you were like right at the cusp? Like, do we give it to anybody who you think did not deserve it?
No, yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Shout him out. Word. Air him out.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know what's funny? This reminds me, and I watch Dan Le Batard's show a lot, and my homeboy Pablo Torre, he just recently got married.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yeah, shout out to him.
Yeah, congratulations.
Big gift basket.
Pablo. But he got introduced to Dan by Dan's producer.
Mm-hmm.
But Dan got an invite, but Mike Ryan didn't.
That's fucked up.
And they confronted him on the show.
You get your followers up.
And Pablo said, in fairness,
yeah,
you were last on the cut.
Yeah. I'm with that.
So that's why that actually just reminded me of that.
You
want to
invite the people that could bring the bigger eye, the more eyes to your.
No, of course. No, and I'm sure. Whatever.
Wait, hold. I'm sorry.
I don't actually. I'm not actually.
So at my wedding one day, I'm just gonna like invite people based on their social media activity.
Oh, you don't think it's already happening?
It's definitely happening.
That's fucked up.
Definitely what happened.
Who's got the most poppin' Snapchat? That's like. You know where you sit everybody.
That's so interesting.
And most weddings these days come with a hashtag, so you definitely want to get the most exposure for the hashtag. Like, you know, Peck guy's wedding and stuff like that.
I didn't get married for anything but to get followers.
I said the other day on Twitter, I was like, yo, every wedding has a hashtag, but nobody hashtags a divorce.
Wow. Yeah.
I think that'd be fire. I think that'd be something to follow.
But do they hashtag
like free nod?
It'd be like, you know how the wedding hashtags usually like the Lewis's get married or whatever.
Right, yeah.
The Lewis's get divorced. So you just follow the tag.
You see a big ass contract.
You see the salt. Or both parties going in, throw salt on each other within the thread.
You know what? I'm gonna say it now. Khaled might be the first person to snap his divorce.
That might be held against him.
Yo,
that's what I
said. Yeah. Because all right, they were. She was not on board with his Snapchat
delivering.
No, but even at the very beginning, like that was
like she was bending over and like you know dealing with like his flowers and stuff. Yeah. It's on my phone. I have like
screenshots.
Oh, yeah, I have screenshots of her bent over, like it's up her skirt, and I'm just like, what is this guy doing?
Okay,
yeah. By the way, this was before they had that like replay function on there,
which they stole from Instagram.
I know.
Yeah,
but they that was way from before. Instagram. So that meant that Jeff had to go through like 24 hours worth of like you know snaps to find the right one to screenshot. That, no, really,
makes Jeff.
That's how Jeff.
Yeah, he's definitely into that.
But you know what was one of the greatest days was when we went to Premium Pete's birthday party and
I didn't get invited to that.
Ah,
yeah,
social media.
I didn't get invited to that shit.
But our friend Just Dave was there.
What?
And Dave and Jeff
I definitely didn't get invited to that.
This was super.
Probably student.
Nah, I didn't stew it, man. What was this?
Whenever his birthday is, I don't know.
Where was it?
Somewhere in Brooklyn.
Deep in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh, not. Okay. Was like a barbecue?
No, this was at a bar. You would have loved it.
Oh, I think I was there.
Were you there?
Yeah, it was at some bar like close to Williamsburg.
No.
Nope. No?
You weren't there.
Yeah. Maybe that was the year before.
Are you just trying to pretend like you were there? No. Like everybody Nod goes to all the parties.
Nah, yeah. I don't go to all the parties. There's certain people I hold dear to me.
#FreeNod.
Yeah, so I was like, yo, Pete had a birthday party and invite me? Like, right, okay.
But Just Dave and Jeff were like commiserating. This was early on in the Snapchat life.
This is right after he got lost at sea.
Yeah.
Which is a seminal moment, I feel like, in social media.
Oh, Khaled.
Not even just Khaled's.
Yeah, that was the one that put him over the top.
Because he was actually scared.
Yeah. It was amazing. It was amazing. What a day. Where were you when Khaled was lost at sea? Leave a comment.
Now, he was shook. You seen his face. He was shook bad. He was like, yo.
And the reason he snapped because it's like, yo, if I don't find Testament my way, you guys like, gotta come and get
right,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so fucked up because his character is such that you don't know when he's joking.
Joking or not.
So people be like.
And that was my, initially, favorite part of the Snapchat was that a lot of people couldn't tell that he was actually in on the joke.
Right.
He's
right.
Like, he was literally trolling everybody, but he's so good at it that people thought, no, he's just not self-aware. I'm like. No, he's joking us right now.
He's 1,000%. No, I still don't think that he has, like, he's not self-aware.
You don't think so?
No.
I think he is completely in on what he's doing.
I mean, now he is.
You think that when he hangs out with his wife, he does that?
Yes.
When his phone's not on.
I could believe that.
Yeah, I do think so. I think the Jimmy Kimmels and like all the people who like do, I think that's when he's self-aware, when music choice makes him, you know, repeat his shit over and over and over again. Like that's when he's like, oh, something's, you know, not like I thought it was, but.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Khaled has no idea like why he's funny, or did not for a very long time.
I also think he doesn't understand the power on certain levels that he has, like to make people famous based off of his Snapchat and his social media following.
Is he making people famous off his Snapchat?
Hell yeah.
I don't follow him. So
Ben
know.
Kicks?
I don't know what that is.
I've never sought him out outside of Khaled's Snapchat because I'm like, who is this kid?
I don't know.
Why is he interrupting my major keys?
Yeah.
But from what I've heard, he's a mogul and he's.
I guess I gotta be 14 kicked. Or something.
Like straight out of high school,
his business.
Was he a sneaker vendor? Like a sneaker like broker?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like a kid who like flips shoes on eBay.
Yeah, to athletes and
you know, I mean, you know the who the OG, who the father of Khaled's entire persona is, though.
Who?
No.
I'm very self-aware. I'm too self-aware. It's actually Fat Joe.
Oh yeah,
Fat Joe, and to an extent, Flex.
Yeah, right. Totally.
I would say Fat Joe because Fat Joe and him directly linked, and Fat Joe's his OG. But Fat Joe is that, like, he talks like this.
Yeah, my guy.
And all that. Like, that's Fat Joe all day, every day.
But, like, we were listening to Flex the other day in an Uber riding downtown, and yeah, and like, as much as you sort of want to shit on the guy, like, and he's
you can't.
Like,
he raised you.
He's amazing.
Like, he's just like, the guy's probably close to 50 years old now, been dominant for maybe close to what, 25 years, 30 years maybe. I mean, what, he got on the air. He's been on the air since what, maybe since 97 started, right?
Yeah.
92, right? Yeah. So he didn't become like Flex the Kingpin to about 96, 95.
Yeah.
And he's been on top ever since. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to give it up. Like,
and my conception of what a hip hop radio dude is Flex. Because of how old I am. It's like, this is how you're supposed to do radio.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I'm actually, you know, a team player when it comes to Hot for absolutely no reason other than they were first and I love them first. So it's like,
but
I'll always
Envy's
have
your guy, you know, because you
Envy started at Hot. That's the thing, though. Yeah. You know, Envy, Clue, all those dudes were at Hot first.
I spent time between Massachusetts and Florida, and I was raised by Hot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I used to like literally like dig for like, I remember back, I don't know if you guys remember this, they used to have like illegal streams of Hot 97 online. Like, you used to like go in certain chat rooms or whatever and get a legal stream. You know what I'm saying? It would be up for how many, whatever, weeks or days. Somebody would eventually report it or whatever. This is before, like, radios were streaming online. You know what I'm saying? Like, to have that stream was like, I would listen to Hot all day long, all night. And it was just, like, mind-boggling to me that, like, yo, like, K-Slay's on right now. Then Who Kid comes on. Then Clue comes on. And
Envy
comes
Cast
on.
One
and Cast One. And then
and Clue.
And like, it was like, it was crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Cypher. So, yeah.
Cypher
like,
comes on. Then Java. Then Java and Bobby Connors come on.
And like, those holiday weekend mixes.
Oh,
like,
my
this
God.
Is insane.
This is insanity. This is insanity. You know
wait,
what I'm
did like, you ever get, did you ever get WFAN down, like, on the clear nights?
WFAN, no.
WFAN.
The sports radio joint with Mike and the Man.
Nah, I don't listen. I ain't listen to sports radio.
Oh, all right. With all due respect.
I'm a music guy. Sports is like, yeah, but I'm a music fucking fiend. I don't listen to sports radio.
No, and by the way, Patriots are over for you.
Oh, I'm not a Patriots fan anymore.
Man. No, it's
yeah,
done.
Brady Belichick voted Trump. So, like,
done.
What am I going to do?
Over.
Like, I'm a, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to ride with that. Like,
it's crazy.
Before it was like, all right, I see the hat in the locker room. You know what I'm saying? I see the picks. You know what I mean? All that. But then I guess, like, when it all went down and then, you know, Trump is kind of like bragging about my friends congratulated me and told me. And then, like, Giselle, whatever you say her name is. It's crazy. It's finally crazy. Like, these two dudes are, like, you know, married to immigrants.
It's, yeah.
But anyway, so, like, Giselle
but
comes out.
But they're white immigrants.
Yeah, they're white immigrants.
Right.
White immigrants.
Right.
So Giselle comes out. Giselle comes out and say, we did not vote for him, blah, blah, blah. Belichick is, like, not even answering it, which means, yeah, I did vote for him. So it's like, I can't ride with that. And then, you know, I can't rock with that. You got to stand for something. Like, for instance, like, Linda McMahon is a candidate to be on his, I think.
In his cabinet.
Right?
Serving
so I sent a tweet out, like, yo, all you black WWE supporters, you guys will still be tuning in WWE every week, all the pay-per-views, knowing that this woman is going to be riding with the guy that basically hate you,
and
so that means she hates you. And I was suspected with wrestling that they hate black people because, like, look at the fucking wrestlers,
right?
Like,
well,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
wrestling is
straight.
Is
Sambo
one of those,
is straight,
is one
like,
of those funny things where it's kind of like porn,
it's
where,
like,
where they do the like the over the top.
But they're still doing that today. But they're doing it. But they're doing
right,
it.
Right,
they're
right.
Still doing it in 2016.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? Like, all right, you did it in '88 with, like, you know, had a pimp character named Slick, and he would eat fried chicken and walk down.
Right.
And this really happened. They really had Kamala.
Course.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
From the jungles of Africa.
Of
like,
course.
Yeah, that was '88, '85.
Yo, wrestling is incredible.
Mad racist. It's 2016, and I turn on. I might if I do. You know, every now and then, my mom's a big wrestling head. So when I go down home, when I go back home, she still watches that stuff. So I'll see, like, what's my man? It'll be a dude rapping and breakdancing in the middle of the. I forget his name, yo. There's a wrestler. His name R-Truth. That's his name.
R-Truth.
He has, you know, old dog braids, and he's rapping and breakdancing. It's 2016.
Breakdancing is one of the elements.
I know.
He's
rapping horribly and breakdancing horribly. So that's the thing. But anyway, what I'm saying is, like, yo, how can you support something that doesn't support you and that openly hates you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's my thing. So I can't openly
support.
So,
by the way, shouts to wrestling for getting Jewish stereotypes wrong. Goldberg is a strong...
Nah, they had my man, the opposite of Goldberg.
what, rabbi, like,
nah, there was WWE's version of Goldberg. He was like a real scrawny gold. Oh my god,
it was, oh my
like,
god, his name was Gold,
gold
something.
Gold, it was Gold. Oh my god, it was during the WCW WWE wars back then.
Gold Dust?
No, it was Gold. They had Goldberg, they had the complete opposite of Goldberg. It was this really, really skinny dude. He was Goldberg had the winning streak, he was undefeated. Right. This dude was winless. Yeah, he was winning, he had the losing streak. His name was like Gold something, but
yo, I promise.
Nevish Paul.
We've never watched wrestling in our lives. I've never been more
even
proud
as a child,
to have never.
Like,
what's that?
Even
never.
As a child, really?
Never.
Wow,
because like, I wasn't down with the racism.
That's what I'm saying.
It's on my. It's my mom. It's my Haitian women are obsessed with wrestling. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. You never asked.
I think when they came over here, I think that was one of the first things that was the first like pieces of entertainment they caught on television. And everybody just caught on to it.
That's and at the end, it's like it's fighting at
my
a certain
mom
level.
Mess with like UFC and boxing. She thinks it's savagery. But let my dad tell her that shit is fake. She'll get the bottle.
Oh man, that's hilarious.
It's really weird.
So when you guys would visit each other like growing up, was there any like did you take like a chair and like hit each other over the head with it because
the thing is you would do the like the figure four leg lock sharpshooter.
The
you might
plex,
jump off the couch and elbow plex. Drop
you
somebody.
You definitely broke pieces
that's,
of furniture. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
What,
like,
that's
it was
what
part
that
of growing
was.
Up. Like, wrestling was like part of life.
You would
like,
suplex somebody.
Crazy.
Like,
body slamming
the,
them.
You would do the moves.
You know what I'm saying? Like torture rack.
You would do the moves.
The torture rack. In the kitchen.
I've torture racked so many of my little cousins.
You know what I mean? Like, really, though. It's weird. But, like, I have to get to the bottom of why Haitian first generation.
Okay, so we're going to have your mom on the podcast. We're going to have your dad on the podcast.
Maybe she'll Skype in. My mom doesn't really travel.
Nah?
Yeah, like mother, like son.
Yeah. So we were talking about what we wanted to talk to you guys about before you got here, and Jeff said, well, first and foremost.
We have no plan.
No. You said first and foremost, remember when we ran into the guys after...
It was
After
Highland
the
Ballroom.
Oh, so it was after the Dreamville show?
Okay.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And you guys... We were walking down the street to get to the train, and you guys were like heated.
It wasn't even a heated argument.
It was
just
that's
like
how Haitians argue.
It was just like he like it's just
loud
like,
and forever.
Yeah.
It was just like to me what he was saying was ridiculous. Like
I really don't
just
remember
on his
the crux,
face.
The crux of it.
And
right. So the argument
versa.
Was who is bigger. Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole.
And Nod sees us walking down the street and is like, thank God there's you know, two of you guys here.
Yeah,
you can settle it.
Yeah, there's some reason here. I vaguely remember. I remember trying to get two girls involved in the conversation to get their outlook, and they're like, they were acting like
I don't know. I like them both.
No, they were like,
they were acting like
we were trying to talk to them.
Trying to talk to you.
I'm not trying to get your number. I'm actually trying to like get your input and trying to use another part of your brain. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, God forbid, like a man approaches a woman trying to get some like information. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't trying to get your number. Like, it's not about sex all the time, baby girl. Like, I actually really just wanted to know what you thought about this matter.
There was only one number, and it was number one, right?
Yeah. I'm like, she's like, yeah, whatever. We ain't talking to you. I'm like, what? We ain't talking to you. And it was singing like a weird like girly song. And like, we ain't talking to you. Immature.
That was like 45 minutes into this argument.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what the? Because they were the deciding factor. I'm like, all right, the ladies are gonna decide this.
Right.
Shit.
It was me and Dave.
And it was me by
Cole.
Myself. Usually, that's normal. It was just me by myself. You know what I'm saying? And like, I was siding. I'm with Cole. Like, I understand. Cole's a big star. You know what I'm saying? But I feel at that particular point, Kendrick was a bigger. Like Kendrick. And it's because of Kendrick. I mean, Kendrick's more out there than Cole. If Cole wanted to be, Cole could be on billboards if he wanted to be. It's more or less like Kendrick has the Reebok commercials and Kendrick has the co-signs.
Yeah, Cole
turns
out a lot of stuff.
You know what I'm saying? But I really don't even know how it started. And we came from a Dreamville event. Right?
No, this is what it is. Like, and it's almost like this Donald Trump argument, right? It's like, nah, he can't win. And people are like, nah, I'm telling you, if you go out there in the country, like, this guy is big.
No, I know. I know he's the Garden. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know the caliber of artists. You know, if anybody knows, I know, like,
right.
From an inside track angle.
Right.
But I was telling you that Kendrick is bigger. And it's not, it has everything to do with, like, Cole is not that kind. He doesn't want that type of shine. Like, if Cole put himself out there, which he doesn't want to do, and he's still killing and body and murdering, and still, you know, one of the three kings, kings being Drake, Kendrick, and Cole. You know what I'm saying? Still one of the three kings without doing that. But if he's not doing those certain things to...
Honorable mention, Lil Yachty.
That's a very honorable mention.
Honorable discharge. You know what I'm saying? But Kendrick's the bigger artist. You know what I'm saying? I mean, can Kendrick.
But to Wise's point,
Yachty was biased too, though.
Yachty was in a Sprite commercial. So.
Yachty was in a Sprite commercial.
Well, no, this is my thing.
Terrible commercial, by the way.
To me,
how dare you?
I think it's a bad commercial.
Do you really?
I think it's a force. I think they forced them in there. I think.
What, Yachty's Sprite commercial?
Yeah,
I think it's a bad commercial.
It was
no, I just think it's a bad commercial.
Well, it was Yachty, LeBron, someone else maybe.
I think it's just LeBron.
Like 40 LeBron in
LeBron's in face.
Yachty? I think it's a forced commercial. Like I don't think
maybe Bron Phil Jackson had a point.
So I'm saying, like, I'll say, man, that Yachty commercial wasn't it. But that Russell Westbrook. He doesn't admit it, but he's definitely Haitian.
Yeah, he has Haitian face.
Haitian face Russell. That's what we call Haitian face.
I could so see him in an all-white First Communion outfit.
I could see him in patent leather.
White suit, white shirt, white tie, white patent leather shoes.
Wait, like LeBron wore to the draft?
Right, like, exactly.
LeBron's Haitian, too. This theory's about that. This theory's about LeBron being Haitian.
Yeah, his pops, his estranged pops might be Haitian.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, this
theory. No, it's just, there was this thing before the internet, and you could actually, like, disprove these things.
Right.
There was always these, like, Haitian, like, yo, the such and such is a closeted Haitian. I've gotten everything from Mary J. Blige.
Wow.
Lauryn Hill, but that was understandable.
Right, because she hung out with Haitian. I've gotten Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal is Haitian.
And this one still persists to this day, Usher.
Even though Usher said he's not. He went on Sway in the Morning, and Tracy G, who's Haitian, asked him. And he was like, nah,
I'm not
man.
Haitian.
You know, and people were like, nah, fuck that. because he spoke French in the nice and slow.
And by the way, it was the worst French accent ever.
Yeah, it's terrible. And they're like, nah, he's Haitian. Usher, yeah, Raymond.
So back in the 90s, before the internet, where you could actually, like,
dispel shit instantly.
You could Google who Blake Griffin's mother and father are.
Oh, Blake Griffin's Haitian. That's a fact.
Blake Griffin's a Haitian.
He's Haitian.
Really?
Yeah, that's a fact. Fact.
Is Eric Haitian?
Eric's not Haitian.
No, he's not.
Not by birth.
He's never. Yeah. Nah, but where
no, my French is terrible. It's awful.
My French is terrible too.
Yeah, you were talking about Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, Kendrick Lamar. Yeah.
Lil Yachty.
Lil Yachty. The Sprite commercial was bad. But Kendrick is the bigger artist. But only because Cole doesn't put himself out there like that. And
like,
that's part of Cole being big, because he doesn't put himself out there like that. So it's kind of like,
to me, the way I look at it, I feel like, with Kendrick, there's this, like, media bias where literally every single gatekeeper media has anointed this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it seems like he's the biggest thing ever. But out in the streets, just, you know, operationally, functionally, when it comes to ticket sales, gate receipts, album sales, mm-hmm. streams, however you want to do it, J. Cole is bigger than him. He's bigger.
I don't know. I don't have numbers to back this up.
The rest of the podcast.
Yeah.
Well, that's just my argument. Like, right. I feel like, and that's why I said the Trump thing. Like, if you listen to, like, the actual hip hop media, gatekeeper, elite hip hop media,
right? Us,
it's, elite, yeah.
Sure,
Eric and Jeff,
sure.
It's the real.
Absolutely. Everybody is like, no, Kendrick Lamar is the guy. But I don't know if actually on a grassroots level that he is. That's all I was saying.
And by the way, first of all, we are definitely not hip hop elite, like none of that.
Yeah,
no.
We're not.
We run media.
No. Furthermore.
Oh god.
Furthermore, we're not even like huge Kendrick fans. Like, we respect him, but
yeah,
we don't,
I'm not
like
a huge
listen,
Kendrick guy either. Like, he thinks I am, but like I'm. I
no,
think it's
you
equal.
Know what it is.
You know what
I'm
saying? Like, I'm just saying, like, from outside, from like just looking in plain sight, it just seems like Kendrick is a bigger dude. And I know why, because he puts himself out there more. Right. That's simply all it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, and Cole's more, you know, secluded and, you know, more.
Right. I honestly, like, me and Dave are all of our mutual homies. We started a rumor that Nod and the people at MTV had made a pact that after they anointed Kendrick Lamar, hottest MCs, that they would all fall in line publicly.
Yeah,
right? So we went, like, took a shot at Nod's credibility. He was like, yeah, whatever. You an MTV, dude. You took a pact.
Of course you're going to call him the hottest MC.
That's what you
I was like, I got to keep the brand consistency. Come on, man. Brank is his name.
So that's where it really started.
That's where the rumors started.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then we were drunk.
Yeah, that's so, that's yeah, where it really
it's
started.
All funded by George Soros.
George Soros. Yeah.
Yo, shout out
yeah
to George Soros, by the way.
I think Chance the Rapper is a lot of good work. Funded by George Soros, dog. I keep telling myself, I mean, allegedly. I mean, I don't know. I'm just talking shit.
Yo, right.
You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, yeah. No, I just you gotta be careful with the conspiracy theories when it involves a Jewish man. That's what's kind of messed up.
I don't want to be Hulk Hogan and Gawker on the stand with a Haitian do-rag. Chance's people trying to sue me because, you know, I'm just saying, like, Chance's is winning crazily. I'm just trying to figure out who the man behind the
man is. Who's the last organic rapper that you think really made it that you guys are 100% in there?
Organic.
50 Cent.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Queens.
Yeah.
Organic.
But I think in the sense of, like, he didn't, like, when his mixtapes became basically the hottest albums essentially out, yeah, it wasn't some company behind that.
Yeah, wait, secretly. You don't think the same thing for 2 Chainz?
2 Chainz,
sure,
that's a great one.
Sure, thank that's a grassroots.
I was going to say Kanye, but 2 Chainz is what's more
Kanye
recent.
Grassroots, though? You can't be grassroots on when Rockefeller Records. Yeah. Like,
well, but there was a little bit. Like, he was,
no,
he
it's
was,
not like
he was
they
shunned
made him a priority.
Yeah.
No,
well, through
absolutely
the wire,
not.
I mean, yeah, Kanye pre-through the wire and all that.
And he became, like, the people's,
yeah, I think,
like,
I'm pretty sure by the time 50, all of his stuff started bubbling, people like Dame were surprised about it.
I think 50 is a great comparison because the level of artists, like, you know, Chance is like in year number one, number two of being Chance, and like he already has festivals.
Look, I'm at the festival, and I'm like, all right,
you know what I'm saying?
The acid rap joint came out a few years ago,
yeah, right?
And these kids knew the joints word for word. So I'm like, it's not fake.
No, it's not fake.
You were right there.
Yeah.
Well, unless George Soros paid George everybody Soros to,
right,
to rap,
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Well, you know, but also, too, there's this thing about Chance where it's like, he's doing it all independently.
I hate
it's
that.
Like,
I hate
dude,
that narrative because that's not true.
Right?
It's impossible.
To CAA.
It's impossible. Yeah, it's
this
impossible.
This is like one of the most powerful entities in all
shit
of media. You understand?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he's not some.
He don't need a label.
Little
he has
scrappy
that
startup.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
give me a break.
Yo, Shots a little scrappy. Yeah. He's doing it all himself. Yeah.
Right.
People online call him Plant the Rapper, which I find
wow
funny.
Wow. That's every what they call Chance?
Plant the
a
Rapper.
Plant?
No,
yo,
Plant
boss,
the Rapper.
Boss Fraud and Plant the Rapper. Yo, you guys should go on tour together.
And yeah, but see, this is the thing, though, too. Like, somebody, like, say a Logic, right? I'd be like, that's an industry plant. And then you look at what he actually does as far as his following. The guy's freaking huge.
So is it better to actually sign with
Little
a
Dickie's
major label
plant
and
Little Dickie's definitely industry plant.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
And he's a clown.
Yeah, 100%. That's
he's
that
not. He's not.
Yes.
He's not. It's the real approval.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That shit. All. I don't know.
Yes.
And
that
by the way,
the gas face.
And you know, and the reason why you got to talk about dudes like that, because some people try to say that what y'all do is Little Dicky inspired
what
or
y'all do is
stuff like that.
Little, yeah.
Whereas there's some level of integrity and authenticity involved in what you guys do.
Some level.
Well,
no,
meaning that Little Dicky has none.
Yeah.
That's
yeah
what I'm saying.
Now,
like, there's a huge difference.
It's weird because, like, he's Weird Al Yankovic to me, but like, he's like a real artist to others, like to the point where he gets magazine covers. That's crazy.
Well, dude, that little video, that little white
it's
privilege
a parody
video that he did.
It's a skit. It was an SNL,
like,
it's a dick. It's dick in a box.
I'm
you know
so
right
happy to get over my white privilege. I'm gonna make a music video about it, and I'm gonna laugh at all you rapper motherfuckers. It's like, dude, that's kind of tone deaf, but
yeah,
you know.
It is
nuance.
That, like, he took a spot on the XXL like freshman cover. Like, that was a spot that could have been a lot. That was a lot if it was somebody actually, like, not to say the man doesn't work hard, whatever. But there's like actual artists out there that could have took that spot and could have, like, that deserved that spot.
That
and you
that,
give it to a parody.
That is true. We have spoken to people like Kamaya and
oh shit,
and
mad people, mad
but,
people.
No. But we've spoken to them and they've been like, I don't want that cover. Like, yeah. I'm not mad that I didn't get a cover because
nah,
I don't
like
want to.
A guy
be
like a Nick Grant could have been on, like, a Boss. Could have been on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's mad dudes
yeah
out there putting in work.
I mean,
that
Boss told me they called them.
They probably didn't
and
want
he
it
was like,
yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah.
But he's already passed it. It's,
well,
it's
over.
Thing, you know,
that.
Like,
yeah,
these things move so quickly that,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's over for that. But no, what I want to say is, and you know, not to make it about race, but like,
but
you know, as a white
race
dude, if you're going to be parodying a black medium, a black art, like, there's got to be a level of care that you put into it to make sure it doesn't come off as mockery and tomfoolery, and I don't think he's dedicating that level of
well,
thought.
Well, no, the thing is, when you have other rappers jumping on it, that's kind of like, oh, this is cool because I got Rich Homie Quan on it or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
so this is cool to people. You
know, but and this is very hard for most of America, considering what has just gone on in a
transpired
in the general election.
Yeah.
But people don't care about facts anymore, and people don't care about what's in writing and in on video anymore. And what's unfortunate is that, and we know this, someone like Lil Dicky has an interview and he says that I'm using this as a platform to get a TV show.
Yeah,
and that's just that's the most inauthentic, wrong.
Wow, he's actually said.
Yeah.
Well, to a certain extent, I have more respect for him.
I don't.
He's coming out with the con and like, I'm not a legitimate rapper.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm using this to jumpstart my career in some other.
Yeah, man, Post Malone said something like that too, though, just to the extent. Like,
Post Malone said some wild stuff after the election.
Really?
I didn't catch that. I saw him
he's a Dallas Texan. What did he say?
I don't remember.
And then you said Riff Raff.
Riff Raff is.
Oh, I mean, he's been coaching Voltron since 2005, 2006.
Right, like, he's a pioneer.
Yeah, he's, he's an OG. He's a Melly Mel of culture vulturing.
The Melly Mel of culture vulturing.
Can we talk about an actual quality rapper? And here's something that we connect with Waz on like 1,000,000%. Rick Ross.
Top five. He's in my top five.
Yo.
And I would never put Ross, I would never expect somebody to be like, oh, the greatest rappers, you know, golden age, blah, blah, blah. But like for me, as far as like a guy who would craft something that actually make me feel something.
Right, exactly. Feeling.
Yeah, it's Ross. He actually elicits some kind of feeling. And it's a lot of things. And we can get technical about it. Like his actual voice, like his voice as an instrument,
right.
The amount of things that he's able to do,
yeah.
Which is like nobody would ever talk about that because he is a cartoonish cocaine rapper, and you know that's a strike. If your thing is about, if you talk about selling drugs, you need to have been on the corner slinging them dope. All right, I can't, you know, I can't take that away from you.
Right.
But if you want to talk about the actual craft of putting together a rap song,
The
guy has been amazing. Since Trilla, I was crazy about Port of Miami. I can't front.
That's why when they had the 10-year anniversary show, I was kind of like, I understand. I know what it means. It's your debut. That's how you broke. That's
but it wasn't
the game
debut.
Don't need a 10-year.
Yeah, he's got some good. Like, not a Push It fan.
My favorite
Push
song.
Was
my,
cool.
My favorite was song on Trilla is Blow. That's a hard record.
Blow was cool.
Designer jeans and the whole that shit's hard. That's like the brown paper bag prelude to brown paper bag.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which is also a hard record.
But basically from that run of Trilla to
Deeper than rap. What's the joint?
Teflon
Don has a. I'll be at the 10-year anniversary show for Teflon Don. Yeah,
absolutely,
I'll be there.
To me, that and you know what's funny?
You'll be at the 10-year reunion for that, but not your 10-year high school reunion.
Fuck school.
Teflon Don is definitely his magnum opus, right? Yeah. And to me,
I would say Albert Anastasia.
It's a mixtape.
Mixtapes
are albums.
Sure. But you know, it's funny. Like that.
Mixtapes are movies.
Mixtapes are movies. Well, actually, they're playlists now.
Playlists now.
If we're getting technical, shouts to Drizzy. OVO Waz in the building.
OVO Waz, definitely.
That's what a few people on Twitter call me. Thanks greatly in part to this show.
What?
Because I came on here and shared that Drake
story.
So anytime, you know what's funny? It's like now, like anytime I go on a Drake rant on Twitter, I have no credibility. People are like, fuck out of here, dude. Like, we don't want to hear anything you have to say about that, dude. But yeah, no, I was saying, like, when Teflon Don came out, that was around the time that My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy came out. To me, that's my favorite Kanye album. Mm-hmm. If not Late Reg, then it's that. Some people like, you know, College Dropout, which is just like, I don't even understand.
I skip joints on College Dropout.
Dude. Right.
Yeah. It's more or less people are associated time.
That's most like that.
I understand that people associate a certain time in their life, you know me, with that album.
Of course,
therefore,
it
elevates the status of the album to them. But like, there's joints on there, man. I just
can't. That's just not good. Good.
2003 was a great year for all of us. We invaded Iraq.
Graduation probably might be my favorite.
Late Registration got to be my favorite.
Really?
Yeah. Late Reg and then, Dark and, Twisted are my two favorites.
I love Dark Twisted
as
well.
For that for me.
Yeah.
Graduation was
the 808s when I need some good crime.
This is 808. Yeah, this is prime 808 weather. 808 season.
Yeah, I've never been an 808 guy. I've been against it from the very start,
right.
And I've gone back and I tried. I'm like,
only this 808's birth birthed, you know, so right. far gone. You know the, what I'm saying?
The,
so,
yeah.
like,
well, technically, Kid Cudi birthed the entire modern rap. Yeah, it's true. He's in, he, no, he's that. Responsible for Drake.
Yeah, Kid Cudi. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Cudi, yeah.
Travis Scott.
Yeah, everybody. Scott.
He,
everybody.
No, he
all sons of
invented
Cudi.
The genre of modern rap.
Yeah. Kid Cudi yeah. did not invent Kid Lil Yachty.
Not Yachty. McConan
invented Lil Yachty.
Yeah.
What's the Philadelphia homie with the pink dreads?
Uzi Vert.
Uzi Vert.
Vertical.
Saying, stuff like that. Yeah. But, yeah. No. And people make that argument. It's like, well, this was the start of, you know, what Drake is doing and everything, that sort of tree. This is all the all these other things have kind of branched off from it, which is fine. But, like, you know, Kanye, let's be honest, he's a terrible singer. Like, the way he, just how he sounds. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he made these songs
but,
and was like,
Kid Cudi's a terrible singer, too.
But he disagreed with
that. Yeah, the man is depressed. Who's not depressed? Yo, and that's like, yo, can we talk about that Drake thing? I know it's kind of like, it's late. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, people over that, whatever.
Oh, that Drake dissed Kid Cudi for
while he was in rehab.
Like George Carlin says, the pussification of America, man. Like, but the way I grew up, or, you know, like, you know, growing up, it was cool to, like, hit a man while he was down. Like, you
right.
Like, shout out to wrestling.
Yeah, definitely. You, like, you pop shit, right. You down, ain't gonna stop. You'll get stomped into this earth, right?
Yeah, but, and another thing is, you punched the guy in the face first.
Yeah, you hit me first.
He started it.
So I'm supposed to stop because
Cudi.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to stop because you had a breakdown or this time. And I don't even know you're playing possum. Maybe is it this time? Are you for real this time?
Did you say posse?
Possum.
Pussy possum.
You know what I'm saying? But Drake is just doing the 48 Laws of Power style, like destroy your enemy. And so, like, he's
you know what my problem is whenever we do talk about Drake and everything that he does? I'm like, If 50 Cent did this,
oh my God,
there would literally be there would be no discussion.
Well, it's respectable.
Right. It wouldn't be like, oh my God, why is it's like no.
Right.
Yeah.
You know the rules. You talk slick about me, I'm gonna come at
50
you.
50 narrated
and especially
a porn.
Especially when you're at your weakest.
He's narrated a porn with son's baby moms in it. Yeah. Like, there's nothing like that. Right. Like that that's, takes the cake.
So that's
like,
what I'm,
he found Khaled's mom at her job.
This is scary. Oh. You know. So that's why it's like, yo, man, and you know, we got to be a little bit more enlightened about mental health issues, which is fine. I don't have a problem with
that. Of course.
But it's not like he's making fun of, like, oh, you're depressed, go kill yourself, idiot.
Right.
Like, you talk slick about me.
Yeah.
Look at you now.
Yeah.
See, I think the real problem was that they were whack bars.
You think so? You stay zany and perked up, so when you come back.
Well, it was okay.
The song,
they were cool.
The song wasn't back to back.
Nah, it's not.
Nah, but I don't think it was designed to be back to back.
Yeah, it was soft shots. Right. Like, I'm listening. Like, right. It's just to let you know. I hear what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you could try it again. You know what I'm saying? Right. If you want to. I'm going to throw these shots, let y'all know I'm here. You have my attention. And if you want to try it again.
Were you guys at the Stashed second anniversary party when Back to Back, like, came out that day?
Yeah, that's when I kind of realized. It was like a day or two after it came out. And I thought Back to Back was cool.
Yeah.
We were on Hotline Bling, though.
Right.
Back to Back was cool, but
Hotline
Bling.
This is crazy.
This is it. This is the one. Right. This is the one y'all should be going crazy about.
Because
Hotline Bling.
I was like, okay, this is a dope song, because you know when it came out, I remember waking up in the morning to like 30 texts and being scared shitless. I was like, yo, what the fuck?
What happened to Drake?
No, not what happened to Drake. Like, maybe the world just ended.
Somebody died or some shit.
Listen, if something happened to Drake, the world would have ended.
I just see 30 texts. I'm texting from everybody. I'm like, yo, what happened? I scroll up and I'm like, oh man, a fucking diss record came out. What the hell is wrong with y'all?
Don't you wish Twitter had that while you were, you know,
away?
Right. So, you know, I listened to it for a couple of days, but then, yeah, we were at the Stash party and they played it and people were going freaking crazy.
Yeah.
And then it just kept happening at every single event that I would go to after. I was like, oh man, this is something else. And, you know, an addendum to that, I went to the show in Philly, the, whatchamacallit, Summer 16 show.
Yeah.
Where he did the song.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, all the people in the freaking arena loved it. So this idea where, you know, shouts to Rosenberg. I got a great respect for that guy. But like, come on, Drake, you shouldn't have did this. Like, dude,
that's
crazy. The paying customers freaking loved it.
I bet.
And that's his only obligation.
Yeah.
So this idea that he's supposed to be like, nah, it's
I
over.
Can't,
it's cool.
I can't.
Nah,
no,
fuck
hell
that.
No, that's
right.
Not over.
I'm doing it right this in
this is coming
arena
straight from the OVO camp.
Shouts to 40, Oliver. Hush. Was good. You know, so Yeah, so, and I was there, and like again, like, that people loved it.
Yeah.
And Drake, of course, he goes up there, and he's like, I love this city. It ain't about this city and the people in this arena. You did this to yourself, boy. I was literally dying laughing.
Were you on your chair cheering him on?
No, you know what? I was.
Oh,
like,
you were backstage.
No. I was on the floor. Though. Don't get it twisted. No, I was drinking, chilling. There was this kid behind me with his dad. This white kid with his dad, and this kid was losing his shit. And I was like, see, this is what it's about. You know what I'm saying? Like, you give the fans these moments. I understand, like, even with Nas, he got to a point where he stopped doing Ether, but you think Nas would have did a show in Brooklyn and been like, and his whole crowd is like, Ether, yeah. Ether, and he's going to be like, nah. He did the song for years.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, you know what?
I've seen Nas perform Ether. Even down in Orlando, we came to Orlando one day, he did Ether. Like, you know what I'm saying?
This and
like,
people loved it.
Yeah, loved it. Like,
that's what
it's
the
like telling
want.
Karis one to do fucking
The Bridge
South,
is Over.
The Bridge is Over, right. South Bronx. Or like, that's one of your classic cuts. Like, right. why wouldn't you do that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Out of respect for who? Your enemy?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
the rules change.
Crowd chant "fuck Jay-Z."
Yeah, yeah. Well, the rules
just
change.
Like a rat.
Well, I mean, Jay started it too, though.
Yeah,
you
sure.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I don't
or
know.
No, I think Nas started it.
Nah, Jay started. Well,
it was a back and forth, but Nas definitely threw the first like something that you could call an actual direct shot, where he's like, "I eat beans in Philly,
right.
and take a shit on the freeway or some shit."
Nah,
like
but
that was
in response to oh man, they came at him. Oh my God, I forget what song. That was implied to something. No, that was a reply. Well, the Bleak stuff. The Bleak on Bleak was on
Bleak did Mind Right. That was later.
Because Nas went at Bleak when he said, you want a ball till you fall, I can help you with
right,
that.
Right, but you know what? It's Bleak, come out Bleak later, and Bleak said, he probably wasn't talking about me. But anyway, right. Back to Hov busting Nas over the head. but you know what? It was
and
funny.
You're from Queens.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I moved to Queens when I was 12.
He's born in Brooklyn.
So before that, there were no Nas.
Wow, just like a closet Haitian.
No, right. There were no Nas stands on my block. There was none of that. It was Big, and it was Hov, and that was it.
Yeah.
There were no Nas people on my block, like, whatsoever. Every
but Nas
kid
is
I
from
knew,
Brooklyn. He was born in Crown Heights.
Right. So every kid I knew was doing that.
Conspiracy gets deep.
But if you like even if you go back
deep
to
in the rap.
Something like Do It Again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, he's all right, but he's not. Like, he's talking about Nas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, on the Clue freestyle, he's talking about Nas on, I forget which professional mixtape, the old school, new school, need to learn.
Oh, no, that was on, I think with Heavy Components. Heavy Components part one, part two.
Right.
It was on a professional. I think later on it ended up on something, but yeah. Well,
on that joint, he's talking about Nas. On Is That Your Chick? You know, posthumously.
He was kind of bullying.
We found out that was about Nas. You understand? Right. So there were all
you
of these.
You make it sound like Nas died.
Nah.
Well, I mean,
but Nas threw shit. It was always shots even
there was
earlier.
Shots
like Nas,
being
like yeah. Nas on The Message saying, TV set Lexus of TV sets
the
minimum.
You know what I'm saying? Because Jay-Z was talking about having Lexus and TV sets.
He's like, yo, that's the minimum.
Yeah.
Like, little shit like that. And then the story about how Jay invited, how they invited Nas and them to the video shoot for Dead Presidents.
Yeah, and
you know,
Nas
that,
never
that,
showed
that,
up.
Yeah, you know that scene with Big.
He sent this diplomat, AZ, instead.
Yeah, yeah.
He sent an emissary instead.
I could be like, getting these stories wrong, but I ain't just,
no,
this
there's
just
always
shit.
these little murmurs that there was a problem between the two of them. And then, you know, it all came to a head.
And we got history out of
it.
Like,
which
greatest,
was great.
I think the greatest
battle ever. To me, it's the rap beef standard. And then, you know, a close second for me got to be Beans and Jay.
Because
that was like one of those things where it's like your parents are fighting.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
During that time, especially when 50 and them just came out, it was basically 50, Banks, Fab, Jada, Beans.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously we loved Nas and Hov and all of the sort of older guard rappers, but as a young kid when I was like 13, you know, 14 years old, Beans and Jada, to me, I saw them as the heir apparents, you know, the next in line. And they were two of my favorite dudes. And so when that whole thing happened, it was hard. Like, you didn't want to pick sides. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, D-Block dissing the entire rock. It's like, wow, these are the people that I look up to. But at the end of the day, I had to side with Rockefeller. You know what I'm saying?
There are so many, but there's so many, like, unmentioned beefs. Like, remember, like, Fab and Mace?
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of beefs that people have been talking about that like, were just like, they were kind of dope on the low too.
Yeah, like Chingy and Nelly.
Chingy and Nelly.
Fab said, tell Mason I got his name on a shell case.
Yeah. And then Mason's like, I don't know why Lou and Fabby won't admit that I'm their daddy.
Right. You know, so, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't. So, it's like rap beef now is so much, you know, different, but I don't miss. You know, I wouldn't like it if there was actually to be
shootings.
Right. Like I don't want Drake or Kendrick Lamar to die.
No, I don't want nobody to die, but I think that was just another element to it that was
because
you would be that was for real then. Because if you go call my name when you see me, it's on. So that when you take that element out of like possibly losing your life, that opens it up to I can say anything now. Mm-hmm. So think about all the beefs and all the Twitter spats or whatever it may be that wouldn't exist if everybody knew like, yo, I might catch a bullet in my ass over this.
Right.
And they wouldn't do it.
Well, there's some people, you know, and you saw that with Jeezy and Gucci. Mm. Or even with Ross and
but that was some real
like
shit.
Gunplay, got his ass whooped.
But I'm saying that's not every beef.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just certain ones.
If there was an element of danger in a beef, you know what I'm saying?
You would enjoy it a little
bit. The quality of beefs would be much greater.
Right.
Because they have something to lose, like your career, their life. You
know
what I'm saying?
Yeah. And people wouldn't be as reckless on Twitter.
Exactly.
Wait, who was Soulja Boy beefing with the other day?
Lil Yachty. Stop bringing him up.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, if somebody got hurt over that, you know what I'm saying? Everybody would fall back. You know what I'm saying? Like I remember like when Big died and Pac died, everybody chilled out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there was a moratorium.
Immensely. Yeah, everybody chilled out. It was like, and then it kind of, you know, came back again for a quick second, early thousands and shit.
Like John 50, which is like,
that was crazy. Yeah.
That's one of those things where you can't even get Farrakhan involved.
Yeah.
Right?
It's even like Foxy and Kim, like that got crazy. They did jail time over like Foxy. Right. Kim did jail time over that. People got shot over them. So it's like the element.
And this was female beef.
But that was the male crew. Yeah. Right. That was like, you know what I'm saying? So. You take that element out, man, it definitely gets watered down and people say whatever they want and nobody has to, you know, account for anything.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like, I don't want to see Chance the Rapper in a rap beef.
I don't either, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
who could he beef with? There's no, like...
The establishment.
The establishment.
George Soros.
Yeah, George Soros. Everybody's going to be Googling George Soros after this episode.
Yo, but so Chicago, Philly, you're moving out here. You're just like... Moving
like
around
shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Oh, you talking about Philly. He saw Chance the Rapper in Made in America and he saw Drake and Made in Philly.
I saw both of them in Philly.
Yeah, he didn't go to Chicago.
I thought you were in Chicago.
He thought you went
to
Chance's festival.
Yeah.
Oh, hell
no, he ain't going to no fucking Chicago festival.
I'd be damned if I go to Chicago for Chance's festival. No, like,
I was like, shout out to those ESPN chefs.
Philly and Philly.
Right.
China Bus and China Bus.
There you go. He had a set, like, right before the headliner, I feel like, on Saturday. His set was right before Rihanna's. You know, so like that's a big freaking deal. Like,
yeah.
And you know, to even get that kind of placement. And you know, it's funny, he had a night show. It's funny because when Travis Scott got on the stage, he was like, you know, I tried to fight for a night show, but I couldn't get it. And you know, Travis Scott is a pretty
rambunctious guy.
And he's a pretty big artist in his own right, but he couldn't get a night show, but Chance the Rapper did. Plant the Rapper did.
Yeah, well, it probably worked out that way, not having Travis.
Well,
at
I
night.
Think what they want to do.
It would have got different.
They want to eliminate that mosh pit element.
Yeah, it
would have
got
before
night
Rihanna.
Night,
shows
before
up.
Rihanna
right.
and then Rihanna. Yeah, yeah, it got
but different. I was moshing for Rihanna. So.
Yeah, he was moshing. You think he's a Drake fan? He's a bigger Rihanna fan.
Oh, did it break your heart when they broke up? Again? Oh,
well, I got some inside information that was actually a fake thing.
Wait, which part was fake? Them breaking up or the whole thing?
That whole public thing.
Inside information.
No, Tommy.
I don't have any inside information.
Damn.
I ain't no snitch.
Damn.
All your inside information is good with me. I'm not a snitch.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
I thought that there was always going to be something to believe in.
Yeah. I mean, now you got to. What is there to even look into now?
As far as what, couples?
Yeah.
French Montana and Iggy Azalea.
I'm not that shit.
French and Iggy. Yeah. My man Tristan Thompson and Khloe Kardashian.
Well, what'd you think that day when like someone photoshopped the Khloe onto the back of his
I immediately what? I was like, this just
his
no.
like GMC?
No, on no, they photoshopped they him photoshopped getting Khloe tattooed.
Tristan Thompson with a big Khloe thing on his back. Which immediately is not far-fetched. I was like, this is it's not far, but I was like, no.
No, but like way. After what Nick Cannon went through when dudes with
date Khloe. I'm like, nah, no way. Like, really you gonna do that? But
yeah.
But after Nick Cannon got Mariah tatted on his back, like, you can't.
Yeah, I can understand that play because he was in love with that woman. He was in love with that woman.
He changed it to, like, wings?
Maybe. It's his back's, like, all tatted now, I think. Like,
changed it to wings.
Get rid of the whole fucking thing.
How do you come back from that?
No.
He's got to get the laser removal. He's got paper.
Wait. Didn't Brandy, when she was married to Quentin Richardson, get hit?
She wasn't married to Quentin Richardson.
What's up?
She was. I think they were dating.
But she got like his face tatted on her back or something like that.
I can believe that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. To all the kids out there listening, don't get a tattoo of your significant other. You will most certainly be regretting it.
To all the adults out there.
Sorry. You can get an Aaliyah tattoo on your back, but not your ex.
I'm like, who the hell got? I was like, I got an Aaliyah tattoo?
No.
Your man did, though, and you got 30 texts that day. When
That's.
He's just a fan, though. He's just a loving and admiring fan. It's different than. No.
He's never met her.
Yo, by the way, Nod tried to warn me about the Aaliyah Hive on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Why'd you go in?
I didn't go in.
Did you say that she'd never got on that plane?
No.
I didn't go with that. I was like, look, like when she was out, she was a good artist.
Oh, here we go.
I'm not saying she was a bad artist, that she wasn't talented. I'm saying, like, as far as like Nod's Kendrick Lamar argument was like, was she huge? She wasn't huge.
Right.
She was like a popular artist that was
He
out.
Was going at revisionist.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, trying like to be they, after she died,
she like, got way bigger.
Afterwards, people, big. I was
she
like.
Was, she was on her way.
She wasn't big. I'm just saying, God. Like.
Yo, Waz hates Aaliyah.
No. Listen, for the Aaliyah Hive out there, I do not hate Aaliyah.
It's at Big Waz. B-I-G-W-O-S.
As Nod told me, he was
the first thing I told you, like, yo, dog, don't mention my name. Leave me out of here. And it's don't at me in none of this shit.
Dude, he was like, yo, these Aaliyah people busted my digital dome one day on Twitter.
You got it?
Years ago, somehow.
So I said something, but it wasn't like bad. It wasn't even something bad. No, I said,
I didn't say Aaliyah was
something
black.
Alluding to the fact. I said something alluding to something that like Jay and Aaliyah might have dated and Dame dated them after. Mm-hmm. Like something along the lines of that, and people are like, yo, she was an angel. She would never like get in between two friends. Whatever. Like, I'm an Aaliyah fan, whatever. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But when he started going, I saw the direction his conversation was going into. And I was like, yo, dude, whatever you do, leave me out of it, because her fans are rabid. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this is the whole time what I was thinking about, right? I don't favorite way too many tweets now, but there was this one specific tweet that I used to love retweeting. And it was a dude that was like, yo, we was at the park one day playing ball. Oh my God, somebody came over and was like, yo, Aaliyah died. And the dude said, man, check up. Right? Which is like, to me, it's not to dismiss her death or anything like that. Obviously, it's a sad situation, but sure, it's like, I'm just envisioning myself like as a ballaholic when I was young.
As a ball, yeah.
And somebody coming through and being like, yo, Aaliyah died while I'm in the middle of a game. And I'm like, check up, man.
Really told that
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what I was thinking the whole time when I was tweeting. I wasn't trying to mock Aaliyah. Like, obviously, she did great work. Like, you can't dispute that. But I was just saying, like, she wasn't Beyonce when she was out.
Well, she was bigger than Beyonce when she was out.
At the time.
Yeah. When her and Beyonce lived together, she wasn't Beyonce now.
Oh, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, she was not that.
No, but, yo, the Aaliyah Hive is going to come at you so crazy if you don't, like, you know, say your points correctly.
So, and that was my only point. And it's like, I'm talking about people. But would they be
a Beyonce now if Aaliyah was still alive? Would they be a Jay-Z the way we see him now if Biggie was still alive? You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I think Beyonce would have.
You think so?
Yeah, no matter what. I don't think
she's an unstoppable force.
Yeah, I don't know. When Aaliyah was around.
Yo,
she was in a group. She was carrying three other women at the time.
Then two other women.
But yeah. I'm just saying. Like, Aaliyah was a big deal. You know what I'm saying? She was a big deal.
You got so serious about it.
She was an angel. She would kill TRL. She would kill
Nick
106.
Cannon got wings tattooed on his back.
You know who else killed
an angel?
You know who else killed TRL? Mandy Moore and Smiles and Southstar.
They were on TRL?
Was that?
Were they on TRL?
Their video got played all the time.
Oh, word?
Remember, they had the same beat as Ja and Ashanti.
They came out first with it.
No, they did. Yeah, they did.
South Florida. Ja and them. Nah, Central Florida.
Central Florida, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, like yeah. Ja and them stole the beat.
Shouts to Ja, Hollis Native. Shouts to Kirk. He's a Queensbury Jam.
Let's just go down.
Shouts to Supreme.
Shouts to Supreme. Shouts to Fat Cat.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real Jeff. If people want to find out more about this podcast, people want to find out more about us, if people want to find out about the everyday goings-on of two Upper West Side Jewish brothers, where should they go?
You can always find us at Gristiti's. That's not true. We're actually at West Side
Market. West Side
Market. Shout out to everybody at West Side Market.
Let's
from
go.
Homer to Andreas to
let's
Jorge
go.
To everybody.
Anyway, online, where can they find us?
All right, you can find us online at the grocery store. We're at check number...
How about... And there was this discussion of like inline versus online. I'm an online guy. Waited online.
Yeah.
Anyway, where can they find us on the internet?
All right. You can go to twitter.com/itsthereal, Facebook, It's The Real, Instagram, It's The Real, Snapchat, It's The Real, and It's The Real Eric because It's The Real was taken. We are on soundcloud.com/awasteoftime and also on iTunes, A Waste of Time with It's The Real.
Jeff, you know this podcast. We've said this for what, 82 weeks so far. This podcast doesn't go any further than the Upper West Side if we don't get our friends to tell their friends to tell their friends to subscribe, rate, comment, and listen to this podcast. So it all starts with us. Who would you like to tell to shout out this podcast?
I want to shout out Irv.
Irv,
who listens to our podcast every week and lets us know that he listens to our podcast every week and is a great guy.
Irv is a great dude. Shout out to Irv.
Also throws great parties.
He does. I, Jeff, would like to shout out the nice and thoughtful police officers that we ran into the morning of Thanksgiving when, stupid me, I made a reservation for the car right in the middle of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah.
I was panicked. I was like, we're not going to be able to get this car. The garage told us we weren't going to get this car. They said, you can come down here, but cops aren't going to let you through. And this, you know, that was a very somber walk at 7 a.m. through the crowds of the Thanksgiving Day Parade to the garage. And luckily, all the police officers were like, go through. I don't have a problem.
Not
with
a big deal at all. But it seemed like a big deal when we had to drive for 5 hours.
I was really like, you know what? Like, what are our options here? We're gonna either have to, you know, go to the grocery store and beg for some, like, you know, pre-made meal, or
we have friends over there. Shouts to Homer, shouts to Jorge, shouts to,
you know,
Andreas.
There was a thought too that we would have to go up to Westchester and go to the, like, SUNY purchase lot, which we've done before, to get the last car that just sits there.
Right.
But we made it down to Washington. We had a happy Thanksgiving. And we are going to do another podcast next week. See you then.
Yeah, we'll be here.
All right.